See, there was treasure in that passage that Jane just read for us. I want you to picture for a moment a treasure hunt, maybe one in your house or in your garden. It could be for you or it could be for your children. And if you think about it, if it's for your children, you know, the treasure, the clues are pretty obvious. I remember doing Easter egg hunts for my sons, and in fact, you know, in our small garden, the eggs were just there. They just had to look. But it was surprising how long it took them to find those eggs. We are God's children, and this here is his word. It's full of treasure, but he hasn't made it hard for us to find. He has given us signs. Now, the title I've been given today is Sharing Strength. We do not do this Christian journey alone. We can't do it alone. God didn't design us to do it alone. He created us to be in relationship with him. From the beginning, God always was one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, our Creator, is relational. And he's calling us to be in relationship with him, to walk with him and talk with him and draw our strength from him. It was only our choosing to turn away that put that separation between us and God. God is love. And in his love, from that moment that we chose to turn away, he's been making a way back for us to come back to him. So even in the Garden of Eden, it was him that was saying, "Where are you? Where are you, Adam?" It was him that brought his people out of slavery across the Red Sea. He was the one that fed them with bread and meat in the desert. He caused water to pour out of a rock. And his prophets, century after century, were calling his people back to him. And of course, supremely, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, the promised one. He loved us in this way. And Jesus said this: God so loved the world that he sent his son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Yet even today, we wander in wildernesses of our own making, trying to go it alone. But today he says to us, if you hear my voice, come and enter my rest. I will give you strength for all you face today and all that you will ever face in the future. This is our choice to take it. We sang earlier on, didn't we? Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Now that is one of God's promises. In the book of Isaiah, he says, he provides strength to the weary. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. And Jesus taught us the same message. He said, build your life on me. Listen to my words and actually put them into action. Put your trust in me, and you will be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. So when the storms of life come, and they will come, you will be able to stand firm and stand on the strength of Jesus and what he has done for you. Now, as I talk to God about this morning and you and the readings that we had, I felt he really led me to five pieces of treasure. And I just want to share with you these briefly. But of course, this is the end of a sermon series in the letter to the Philippians. And we started with looking that we, like the Philippian church, the Philippian Christians, are gospel partners. God is inviting us, you and me, to join in his grace outpouring, his drawing people back to himself, that putting all things back in their right place. And then the following week, we moved on to having courage in the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. We went on to look at true humility, being that we live our lives like Christ, preferring others to ourselves. And then moving on to joyful obedience and faithful confidence in God's message and his call on our lives. And then last week, Pete brought us practicing true peace, in those beautiful readings that are the beginning of chapter 4, bringing everything to him in prayer with thankfulness. And then the peace of God, which passes all of our understanding, will keep our hearts and our minds in the love and knowledge of God. So now we're concluding with receiving strength from him and strengthening others. So if we look at that first verse that we had, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to share it. Now, Paul, one of the early Christian leaders of the Christian church, is actually under house arrest when he's writing this letter. And he's full of thankfulness and gratitude to the Christians in Philippi for showing their loving concern for him. He recognizes their care even though they've had no opportunity to show it. What about our leaders? Or the leaders who lead or encourage you? Be it your life group leaders, your interest group leaders, our vicars here, your boss, your line manager. Leading can be a lonely place, but it can be transformed by the encouragement of others. I'm reminded, and in fact, I'm so glad to see Sue here. She'll remember this. We showed this in Jigsaw a few years ago, a YouTube clip of geese flying in a V-shaped formation. And we learned that the goose out at the front, the leader, is encouraged by all the geese behind who honk and encourage that lead goose. Oh, could have got a tongue twister there. To keep on going. And when finally that goose is tired, he drops back, or she drops back to back into the V-shaped formation, and another one takes their place, and they continue to honk and encourage each other on. It's a reminder, isn't it, to be intentional about who we're encouraging, those who are up front ahead of us. We don't have to wait for them to do something. They are human beings just like us. And we can thank them and encourage them for who they are rather than just what they do. You know, that's the start of God's grace breaking out. You imagine it. If you start to pray for 5 people who are leading or encouraging you, or you give them a word of encouragement, imagine that breaking out. It could go viral as they encourage 5 more and 5 more. You know, this is God's multiplication. It's not addition. It's how he multiplies his grace among the nations. Now, I can't move on. And this word, without this word, rejoice, right at the very start. It's the very first word. Mike mentioned it earlier on. Now, Paul seems quite keen on it. I had noticed as we were going through these readings, he's mentioned it 6 times already just in this one letter. And it turns out 15 in all of his letters to the early churches. Earlier on in the letter, he said, rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, and it is a safeguard for you. And last week we heard, rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. Bring everything to God in prayer with thanksgiving. Now in Jigsaw, we've been thinking how we can be thankful to God every day. So I was thinking for myself about my thankfulness. And straight away I came up with 3 things: my safe home, my neighbours, and my health. But they're all circumstances. They're pretty certain circumstances, but ultimately they will change. And if my thankfulness is purely pinned on them, then it will rise and it will fall as they do. But I think Paul is giving us a sign here, a clue to peace-filled living, when he says, rejoice in the Lord. So what can we be thankful for in the Lord? Well, it's always a good thing to look to Jesus for a pointer. And he gives one to his disciples and to us. When they return from their first mission trip, he said, don't rejoice that the demons submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. If you said yes, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, and the same power of God which raised you from the dead is now also alive in me, the Holy Spirit in me. Your name, Jesus says, is written in the book of life. You know, Christians are not bad people made better. We are dead people made alive. And we are made alive by what Jesus has done for us. And we have received that gift of life in all its fullness now, and life forever. And it's not broken by our physical death. That for me, when I became a Christian at the age of 27, was the crux of the matter. That's worth rejoicing about. You may be today here and you have said yes to Jesus, just like that. It's worth reminding ourselves of never forgetting of what we actually have said yes to. Jesus cancels the power of sin and death in our life. And he has given us new life in him in abundance now and eternal life. But you might also be here this morning and you're thinking, I haven't said yes yet to Jesus. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I know Jesus. I'm not sure I know anything about him. But I am prepared to examine the evidence, to consider the facts, to find out more. And that's precisely why we love running Alpha courses here at St. Mary's. You can listen, examine, investigate, and weigh up all the evidence that you're presented with. We have a course starting in the new year. I'm going to have invitations there all around the back. Come and get your invitation. It may be that you're here for the first time. Maybe you came to our Christmas fair yesterday and you saw something of joy, of hope, and you're here for the first time this morning. Or you're here for the first time after a long time of being away. Or indeed, you've been coming here for years and years, and yet you still just wonder, or you need reminding, what is it, Jesus, that you have done for me? I've also got something for that. Kate's given me some little books, Why Jesus? You don't need to wait for the Alpha course to be starting to begin reading that. I'd love to give you a copy of that. Okay, on to our next treasure. Paul is keen we get this message, and he says it in two verses. He says it twice. You see, the thing is, our way of thinking is a rather back-to-front thinking compared with God's way. And so Paul tells us it this way. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. Paul has learned, he's learned the secret of being content. What do we learn from that? It's not automatic that we know how to be content. Paul tells us that we can know the secret, we can know it. But do we want to know? Have we remained teachable throughout our lives? You see, sometimes we meet young 80-year-olds, but sadly we also meet very old 20-something-year-olds. It depends not so much on the number of birthdays we've had, but rather whether we're still learning, whether we're still growing. Someone who's stopped learning, stopped growing, their minds are perhaps really firmly shut. There's a certain stiffness that has come with that aging, creeping process of not learning. But I have to say, don't you agree? And we'd say it as adults, learning is not easy. It does take perseverance. And many things that are worth learning take time. They take time for us to practice until they become second nature. But think of perhaps learning to drive. You know, when you first got in a car, you're told you've got to put one foot on the clutch while the other foot's on the brake. You've got to be steering the wheel and looking in the mirror. It's impossible. But when you push through that, and yes, Oliver and I have been through that just recently, but now, you know, he has the joy of knowing it's become second nature because he's been practicing, and we practice. That's what Paul is talking about when he says, I have learned. Well, what about us? Are we learning when it comes to God's word? Are we learning the ways of God from each other? And are we modeling them to each other? Remaining teachable, I think, is about upward looking and outward looking as well. Martin Luther said sin is a life turned in on itself. And we can end up as miserable as when our life is turned in on itself. Because we were never meant to be made like that. We were never meant to be that way. but it's what we do when we turn away from our life's purpose, which is to be loved by God and live in companionship with him, and for us to simply love him in return and love others as ourselves. You see, we often hear it said in times of crisis, it's situations like this you realise that it's just family that matters. And yes, yes it is, but don't miss the point. God, your heavenly Father, created you for a day in, day out, moment by moment relationship with him. Don't miss it, and don't miss loving your family. And that includes all of God's children too. That's surely the secret of contentment that Paul is talking about. That we love God and love others, not that we love our circumstances, our fortunes, or things. We may have these things in plenty, or we may be in want. Even when it comes to our family, we may be in plenty or in want. The one thing we always have available to us that is never withheld from us, it's only us that withhold from it, is the undiminishing love of God for each one of us. And the Bible is his love letter to you and to me. It starts in Genesis, it ends in Revelation. Each of these 66 books is his love letter. And you know, his love is like this. He is patient. He is kind. He does not envy. Neither does he boast. He is not proud. He is not dishonoring, not self-seeking, not easily angered. He keeps no record. I repeat, he keeps no record of wrongs. He always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God's love never fails. One day everything will pass away except these three things: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is God's love. We might put this contentment, this secret of contentment, another way, or should I say the Bible puts it this way. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my salvation and my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I could go on and on and on, but that's just a small portion of one of those 66 books. Now, earlier this autumn, Ali and Rachel's life group was leading our service, and following prayer and fasting, and the topic was on fasting, they felt that Jesus was asking us, the people of God here at St. Mary's, two key questions. Who are we relying on, and who are we hungry for? You see, the secret of contentment is that we need to keep on learning and keep on applying until it becomes second nature to meet all our circumstances with our eyes fixed and our trust in Jesus alone. There doesn't need to be this dichotomy of what we read here and then what our circumstances are. We need to make it become second nature that we come here with each and every circumstance. Sharing strength. Who are you learning from and who are you sharing this with? And we move on to this beautiful verse. You know it already. I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. Because it is Jesus Christ who gives you and gives me strength. When we accept Jesus into our lives, we don't just have God in heaven. We have God come down in us, the Holy Spirit, a seal in us. And we can draw our strength. The Holy Spirit is within us to give us strength, to guide us, to help us, and to remind us of these truths and to explain them to us. And how do we do that for others? We share Christ. We share his words. You know, who's on your heart today? Who are you praying for? Who are you thinking about? Go to his word. ask him, sit still before him. Say, Lord, what is it that they need in these circumstances? When we sit, when we stay before the Lord, as we sang, not only strength will rise, but he will inspire us. He will give us the words of life. There are many, many help books, aren't there, that will try to teach us how we can succeed in all circumstances. And it is a money spinner, because that's what all people want, because that's what we were made for. But there's only one place, this holy book, this set apart word of life. You know, if you've never started, today's a great day to start, or start again. It is treasure for us. And Christ will strengthen you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is the action. We have a portion of the next four verses. Now, Mike gave us, it was good of you to share in my troubles. And we've done that. We've prayed. But we can keep on doing that. You know, to stand alongside other people. That marks us out. That's a difference. But going on to the next few verses, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. You sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desired your gifts. What I desired is that more be credited to your account. I've received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. In the early days, it suggests the church in the region were young, and indeed they were. They were just learning, perhaps like you and me, what it looks like to think and act as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as little Christs, as the word means. We need to live up to that name. And it seems like most of them had not yet learnt the secret of contentment, which comes from giving back to God generously. When we begin to grasp that all good things come from God, our generosity to support the work of bringing his kingdom come is not only a sign of our thankfulness, but is a commitment of our partnering with him to continue that work. That's sharing strength. It's recognizing our strength in material comforts all come from him, and so we are merely sharing that strength by giving out of our plenty. But sadly, many of us seem to have perspective difficulties when it comes to this. You might remember, as I so clearly do, when Linwin, our church warden, at the beginning of the year, she astounded me with what she said. She said, at St. Mary's, we have more than enough funds to cover all the mission work we have visioned to be involved in. It's just that the money is still in each of our pockets. How true. Jesus came to bring life, not death, not decline, not decay, not subtraction. By honoring God as our first priority with our time, our talents, and our income, we will be blessed. That is a kingdom principle. That's just the way it is. I want to tell you a quick story of a friend of mine. When she went to university, she decided to follow this principle, and she gave away 10% of all she received. Every term, she found that she had enough in her account to cover all her needs and still be in the black at the end of term. However, I think it went like this, that one day she'd had enough. She thought perhaps she was done with God and decided she simply wasn't rich enough to be giving some of her money away. So she didn't. Before the term ended, she'd gone overdrawn. She couldn't meet all her own needs. But that wasn't, I don't think, the only thing. She also struggled in terms of her well-being and her contentment with life. Frankly, she'd become out of sorts in every way. And I think this is the principle that Paul is talking about when he says, "What I desire is that more be credited to your account." He knows that because of their generosity to him, those Philippian Christians will enjoy real holistic well-being and blessing. So, our final verse. Now, I don't know, this verse, I just keep sitting and looking at. It is treasure to look at, to behold. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. What do I think that means? My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. This beautiful, deep, powerful verse is a promise of God to you and to me. Paul says, my God, he knows him. He's in a relationship with him. We can be in a relationship with our God too. He's somebody we can know, not just know about. And he says, will supply. You see, God's nature is to give, is to be the provider. He is our Jehovah Jireh, the one who will provide. Not just some of our needs, all of our needs. We always have access to the provision and the provider. And this is a verse that has sustained men and women over the centuries. And it can sustain us now if we choose to draw our strength from Jesus Christ. It is all found in him, Emmanuel, God with us. Discover, rediscover Jesus for yourself. Sit with him. You know, we so often hear this and rush off. Let's just sit with him. Take time. You know, how many hours in the week do we have? Somebody must know, 160 something. Are you spending any of those hours in quietness with God? He has all the kingdom, all the power, and all the glory, and it is forever and ever. These God-breathed words that are in here will encourage you, strengthen you, and literally transform you if you let them. As Jesus explained, if anyone hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, he is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Simply by asking our God and believing in him, which is what we do when we pray, we share strength and we draw strength from him.